Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you to all of our digital listeners for tuning in. I want to look over at Matthew chapter 5 today. Today we're going to be looking at a perspective from God's Word that I believe will help us as we look at the coming year and what the year may just unfold for us. Today's title is My Jesus is the Light of the World. And we have already studied Matthew chapter 5 together, but I want to go back and look at just a couple of verses that I think are really important for us to consider. So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 14, and it says, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lamp stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, as we are entering into a new year, we many times look behind us to see what was accomplished in the last year. Now, traditionally, people make that New Year's commitment to force themselves to get into better habits. But as all forced commitments go, the majority of people don't keep them, at least not for very long. Studies have shown that only about 9% of Americans keep their New Year's resolutions. So as we reflect on what you never got to, or what habits you likely fell into, or what could have been made more important, I want to take some time today to reflect on a teaching that Jesus continues to point back to, a teaching that is simple, yet very important for the gospel believer. Now, light and darkness is a theme in many stories, poems, and even historical accounts. Darkness typically represents the cold, loneliness, fear, sin, and overall evil, whereas light typically represents warmth, comfort, hope, salvation, and overall goodness. Now let's look at some of what the Bible has to say about light and darkness. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm chapter 18, verse 28 says, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Psalm chapter 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, God's word lights our path in life. It guides and directs us so that we never get lost in the dark. God is our light and our salvation, and because of that, we have no reason to fear. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him," talking of God, talking of Jesus, "and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Luke chapter 1, verse 79 says, "God has given light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." John chapter 8, and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So God is light. God has given mankind the opportunity to be removed from darkness and be in the light through the redemption of our sins by his Son, Jesus Christ. Now we have the promise that we do not have to stumble in the darkness as long as we have the light. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And we see in this passage that evil loves darkness, it hides, and it thrives in darkness. but those who believe in the truth of God live in the light. John chapter 12, verses 35 through 36. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while longer, the light," speaking of himself, "is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Now we have the opportunity to become people of the light through the light of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, gospel believers have been chosen to be God's special people. We have been called out of the darkness of the world into his marvelous light. Let's look together at another text. Turn with me, if you would, over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And follow along as I read, beginning in verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Now, the Apostle Paul here is writing, and he's writing to the gospel believers in the city of Philippi. Now, notice that he tells them to work out their own salvation. Now, just to clarify, Paul is not suggesting that they work for their salvation or that they have the ability to buy their salvation. Now, work out here means to put it into action. Salvation is the first step in the process of sanctification or making us more like Christ. Paul is suggesting that gospel believers use this awesome resource that they have gained through Jesus' sacrifice. And we are to put it into action, not being afraid, but coming before him humbly and in great reverence. Well, look with me at verse 14. Paul continues and says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Now, when a gospel believer is first given God's grace through salvation, a very small light is triggered within us. As the process of sanctification happens within our lives, that light grows brighter and brighter as we let go of more of the world's darkness and embrace God's marvelous light. Now, this means that the Lord is our light, and we are bearers of that light. Now, few have that privilege, and we are instructed to not waste the opportunity to draw people away from the darkness and into light. Now, we are described here in Philippians chapter 2 and in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, as light bearers. Now, that opens up some questions that I would like for us to consider today. So, number one, what is a light bearer? Well, fundamentally, a light bearer brings light into the darkness. Now, in the context of what the Bible tells us, gospel believers are the only ones who are given the privilege of bearing God's light within them because they have the Holy Spirit residing within them. Now, light bearers are never alone because they have the Holy Spirit within them, but still, sometimes being a light bearer can feel lonely. And the reason for that loneliness is because not everyone around you is a light bearer. In fact, you may be the only light bearer in your area. Now, when I think of a light bearer, I think back to the old lighthouse keepers of days gone by. Now, typically there would be a man either living alone or with another keeper. There would be sometimes a family if the light was maybe off the coast. But if it was just out on a rock somewhere, you would typically have one guy or two guys working together to keep it lit. Now, the lighthouse would send a light signal out into the darkness, and many times it would be the only light that is seen for miles. Now, the lighthouse keeper was charged with keeping the light on and fully bright at all cost. Now, if the light was off at night or it was dim, it would not help anyone in the darkness. Now, this task was hard work. Many of the old lighthouses had fuel for the lantern stored in another building on ground level, so the keepers had to carry the right amount of fuel all the way up to the lantern each night. The fuel that was used during those days would often dirty the lighthouse lantern, so they had to spend hours polishing it and making sure it was not dirty in any way. They had to brave the cold and the darkness all alone, but shining that light into the darkness so that those who needed it the most could be saved and could follow the light to safety was what made it all worth it. Well, let's consider another question. Just as the lighthouse keeper was to keep their light bright, so the light bearer's responsibility is going to keep working on getting their light brighter and to shine it boldly wherever they go. Now, we work to get our lights brighter by trusting in the Lord, by obeying His commands, and by being faithful to Him. Now, it's easy to allow our lights to get dimmer by following the trend of those around us instead of following the Lord. This is not an easy task, but it's an important one, and those who make it important will fight for it. Now, as God's light bearers, we are living examples for what God can do in the lives of mankind. We are reminders to the world of how God takes those who are broken and makes them useful. All right, let's consider another question. How can we have the brightest of lights? Well, turn with me over to another passage, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And follow along as I begin reading in verse 8. Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." So before we were gospel believers, we walked in darkness, like those in the world without Christ who walk it every day. Blinded by their sin, they have not experienced yet God's gracious light. All around them is darkness, and those in the darkness have no hope. They don't feel long-lasting joy. They don't know what real peace is. The world is full of genuine fear because those lives have never submitted to God's light. Now, have you ever walked around in your house late at night without the lights on? Our eyes at first are not used to the dark, but they gradually are able to see more and more in the darkness without the aid of light. Now, when we do turn on the light, our eyes are blinded, and sometimes it's like a stinging sensation, and it's not very comfortable. You know, we wince and even hide our eyes from the light. It doesn't always seem comfortable or even wanted. Now, God's light is similar. It is very bright in thick darkness, but there are times that people do not welcome the light, but instead hide from it. Now remember John 3:19-20? Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." But not everyone is afraid of the light. You know, there are those that welcome God's light and notice that it is a different kind of light, a full and filling brightness. Those who accept God's light now walk in the light of the Lord. Now, we are to walk as children of light. Notice in our Ephesians text the direct connection given to the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruits that we know are produced through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 tells us the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." In other words, stay away from the things of the world and instead embrace the goodness of God, the growing of what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Only through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives can we experience genuine love, long-lasting joy, real peace, unbelievable patience, incredible kindness, goodness from an open heart, faithfulness in ways that you have never experienced, sincere gentleness, and authentic self-control. Now, these are all meaningful things that the world longs for and is always looking outside of God for an answer to. It's no secret that a life structured and centered with God will produce these things, but it is also hard work. It is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. And people tend to be lazy. You know, we want to get things quick. We want to fix things very quickly. You know, we are not interested in taking a long time to get from point A to point B. We want fast working diets, okay? We are not so interested in long-term discipline or self-control. Every time that we're getting close to the New Year's, you hear of somebody that has a new diet coming out. And sometimes it's the same person that this year, oh, they're going to try this diet. And every time it's like, oh, get thin quick, you know, lose this quick. And everything is about getting something done very quickly because we're very impatient. We want things done very quickly in our lives. That's why we get Amazon. We're impatient with everywhere else because we get our packages in a day or up to 3 days in the mail. And anytime that we're looking for something we can't find now in regular stores, we're like, oh, you know, why didn't I just go to Amazon? You know, the expectations for us nowadays is we want it in our hands now. We want the answer right now. And we want the what produces the good things in our lives right now. But that's not how God works. God's ways are not our ways. And we can see those examples all the way through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. We look at people's lives, how he changed them, how he made them for the better. It took a very long time to get there. So again, here in Ephesians, notice that it says in verse 10, finding what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, if we're going to be children of light, we need to learn what is acceptable to the Lord. And we do this through the process of discernment. Now, spiritual discernment is the process of being able to distinguish what is true and what is false. We grow in our spiritual discernment by being faithful and obedient to God. And as we learn more about Him in His Word, we grow and mature. And as we mature spiritually, we grow in our spiritual discernment. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, when we are spiritually immature, we are like babes. We can't handle solid food. In other words, we cannot handle understanding the deep things of God. But as we grow in our spiritual maturity, we grow into adulthood. And we can eat that solid food. We can learn the deeper things of God and understand how to discern both good and evil. Now, this is very important in the life of a light bearer that wants their light to be brighter. All right, let's continue here in Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." So here, no fellowship with them. Do not leave room in your life for anything that the world gives to tempt you by. Do not do what they do. Instead, compare what they do with the Word of God and expose their sin. Now, when we leave doors open to the world, we are leaving opportunities for our lens to get dirtied. And we have to instead purpose to give up what others may not be able to do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So we cannot hold on to the idle things of the world. We have to stop them in our own lives. And not just stop them, but crucify them. Kill them so they no longer exist, so that we no longer go back to them, and so that we are not drawn away to think about them ever again. All right, look with me as we continue here in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, thinking back on the illustration of walking through your house without the lights on, I find myself at times so confident that I can make it from one room to the next without the lights on because I know where everything is. And do you know what happens? I trip on an obstacle. Now, sometimes the obstacles are things that are not in the right place, and sometimes they are things that should not be there at all. But when I turn that light on, the light exposes all of the obstacles. Now, for the gospel believer, we should not be a part of those obstacles, but we should do everything that we can to instead expose those things hiding in the darkness, those things that are the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, those things that are bad fruits. Now, God has called us to be light bearers, and that takes effort and it takes purpose. Now is the most important time of your life to be shining your light, right now. Now, let's close with a call to action from the Apostle Paul here from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And he says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, as we have been entering into 2024, let's not use it as an excuse to get busy with all the things that push our walk with the Lord back, or cover it up, or even let it go. Let's instead take the time that we need in the coming year to make a plan of action to not give up and keep ourselves disciplined. The late theologian John Calvin once wrote, in order for doctrine to be fruitful to us, it must overflow into our hearts, spread into our daily routines, and truly transform us within. And that's absolutely right. God's word cannot stay on the page of our Bibles if it is going to transform our lives. His word has to live within our everydays if it's going to make a difference. Now, the life of a light bearer is not easy. God did not call us into an easy lifestyle. He called us to work hard to accomplish His will for our lives. And just as the lighthouse keeper worked very hard, going through difficult times to accomplish his work, so the light bearer will face hard and difficult times. But as we learn and implement into our lives these things that are acceptable to the Lord, we will have the opportunity to see those who come out of the darkness and into the light, those who are saved because of our bright light, and that will make all the effort worth it. God uses us to be His light bearers, and I challenge you this year to make the effort to be the brightest light that you can be for His glory. Let me pray for you today. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us today that you would help us, Lord, to make what is most important in life, our relationship with you, the most important thing. Lord, let us not set you on the sidelines. Let us not come back to you on a rainy day, Lord, but as light bearers, I pray that you would help us to grow that light. Help us, Lord, to be people of your word that come back to you every day, that meditate on your word, that study your word, that memorize your word. I pray, Lord God, that we would become encyclopedias for your word. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just take the data in, but it would get into our hearts, Lord, and you would grow it so that we can go out and we can have peace and we can have your strength and your love. And as we are experiencing these things, we can share that love with others and they can see the truth of who you are. Lord, help our lights to grow this year. Lord, we know it's only going to grow if we make every effort for it to grow. Help us, Lord, not to make excuses why we can't serve and honor you. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't give up, that we would continue to press forward for your glory. In your name I pray these things. Amen.